Welcome to The Word for Today, the broadcast ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently leading us on a verse-by-verse venture through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, we'll be following the ratifiers of the covenant as we pick up with Nehemiah chapter 10, verse 1. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
So moving now over to chapter 10. The people, you remember chapter 9, confessed their sin and the faithfulness of God. Looking at their history, they have been reading the law, and the law revealed so many interesting things. How God had established a covenant with them, but how they had failed. Our fathers failed to keep the covenant. And there were the constant affirmations of God's faithfulness, but man's unfaithfulness. And so they ended with a commitment: we're going to renew our covenant with God. We are going to live by the law of God. And that determination to renew this covenant. And so verse 38 of chapter 9, and because of all of this, we made a sure covenant and write it, and our princes and Levites and priests attest. They seal unto it. They sign their name to it. Now those that sealed the covenant were Nehemiah the governor, and then all of these names. These names are those of the priest. In verse 9, it begins giving you the names of the Levites. In verse 14, it begins with the list of the chief of the people who signed this covenant. And then in verse 28, the rest of the people, the priests, the Levites, the porters, the singers, and the Nethinims, and all of they that had separated themselves from the people of the lands unto the law of God, their wives, their sons, their daughters, everyone having knowledge and having understanding. So the list of those names of people who said, we're going to make this covenant with God, we seal it, we attest to it. And so they clave to their brethren, their nobles, and they entered into a curse and into an oath to walk in God's law, which was given by Moses, the servant of God, and to observe and to do all of the commandments of the Lord our God and his judgments and his statutes. You remember when the children of Israel came into the promised land and they came to the area of Shechem and Mount Ebal on one side and Mount Gerizim on the other, and a part of the Levites were up on Mount Gerizim to pronounce the blessings if you keep the covenant and keep the law, and the others were up on Mount Ebal to pronounce the curses. And the people down in the valley, as they would pronounce, you know, cursed be the man who does this, and cursed be man, they'd say, amen, amen. And then the blessings of those who would keep the law. In Deuteronomy, it gave the list of the blessings and the curses. The blessings for obedience, the curses for the disobedience. And so these men entered into this covenant, and they acknowledged the curses if they would fail to keep that covenant, and also the oath to walk in God's law that was given by Moses, that we would not give our daughters unto the people of the land, nor take their daughters for our sons. And if the people of the land bring any goods or any victuals on the Sabbath day to sell, that we would not buy it of them on the Sabbath. So we're going to keep the Sabbath day as far as buying. That the neighboring village people would bring to the city their handiwork, their vegetables, their fruits and so forth to sell on the Sabbath day. And so they said, we won't buy it on the Sabbath day. Or on the holy days, those special days of the year, and that we would leave the seventh year an exaction of every debt. So these were the aspects of the law. Now, Today there are people who also are seeking to keep the law of the Sabbath in order to have a feeling of righteousness. And there is always sort of a aura of self-righteousness that goes with the keeping of the Sabbath. Like, we are a little more holy than you, or a little more righteous than you, because you don't keep the Sabbath. Now, if your observance of the Sabbath is for righteousness' sake, that you might be holier or more righteous, then I have sad news for you. You have fallen from grace. If you're trying to have a righteous standing before God by the keeping of the law, if you think the observing of the Sabbath makes you more spiritual or more righteous than the next person, then you have fallen from grace. Not only that, you have brought yourself into a place of cursing, that is, a curse upon you. Because the law said, cursed is the man who continueth not in the whole law to do those things that are written therein. And the law of the Sabbath just didn't go for one day out of the week. It also went for 1 year out of the seven. So there was the Sabbath that you were to give to the land. You weren't to plant anything in that seventh year. So if you're going to take the law of the Sabbath, you've got to take it all the way, especially if you're looking at it for a righteous standing before God. Because cursed is a man who continueth not in the whole law to do the things that are written therein. I find that's a little heavy yoke for me to try and bear. And so I thank God for Jesus Christ and the righteousness which I have through faith. And I am with Paul the Apostle, who declares that one man esteems one day above another, another man esteems every day alike, and I'm the second man. I esteem every day alike. It was really for health purposes more than anything else, I think, that God established this law, and he established it with the nation of Israel, not with the Gentiles. It was never determined by the early church that Gentiles should be under the law of the Sabbath. In fact, it was determined that they should only keep themselves from fornication and things strangled, and if they did that, they were doing well. So, in this Sabbath holidays and in the keeping of the Sabbath, every seventh year you've got to forgive everybody the debts that they owe you. Someone borrow money from you or something, seventh year you have to say, well, all over, forget it, don't pay me anymore. Oh, but I don't want to do that. Oh, well, then you're cursed. Also, we made ordinances for us to charge ourselves yearly with the third part of the shekel for the service of the house of God. Now, they put on themselves, they imposed upon themselves sort of this tax for the temple, that each one of them would give a third part of the shekel every year annually for the support of the temple so that they can continue the sacrifices and continue the ministry within the temple. And so it was sort of a tax. I think that this is a rather sad thing when you have sort of a state sponsored church. We were in Switzerland recently at this beautiful cathedral there in Basel. In fact, a week ago, Sunday night, we had this service in this cathedral, beautiful cathedral. The cathedral is owned by the state, and it has a state, or it had a state pastor. But his congregation was dwindling because it was made up of nothing but old people. And about 5 years ago, there were 15 older people that attended the church, but they've been dying off. And he would go every Sunday morning and minister to the 15, then to the 14, then to the 13, then to the 12, then to the 10, you know, 11, 10. Finally, he was ministering to just one little lady. Every Sunday, he'd go, one little lady would sit there, he'd climb up in his little tower and, you know, give his oration. She finally died. But he didn't really care if there was just one little lady there, because the state pays his salary. And he gets the same whether the cathedral is full or if there's just one little lady. And he found it was a lot easier. He had a lot more free time with just one little lady in the church. And so it was professionalism. And it was encouraged, really, because of the state religion or state church kind of a thing. And that kind of professionalism is encouraged by that. This was a commitment of the believers. But in the New Testament, we are told that every man should purpose in his own heart, and so should he give. Never by grudging or constraint, pressure. God loves a cheerful giver. These people said, we're going to give a third part of a shekel, each of us, to the service of the house of God, to purchase the showbread for the continual meal offerings and the continual burnt offerings of the Sabbaths, the new moons, for the set feasts, the holy things, for the sin offerings, to make an atonement for Israel and for all of the work of the house of God. So they were imposing upon themselves these pledges. And we cast the lots among the priests and the Levites and the people for the wood offering. Now, this is the first mention of a wood offering. And, of course, the fire had to be kept burning continually. And through the conquest of Israel by these other nations, the wooded areas were being thinned out until when the Jews began their more modern return to the land. The land was pretty barren of all trees except fruit trees, olive trees and fig and apricot and peach. But it was pretty barren of all trees. And of course, you know the program of Israel in reforesting and planting millions upon millions of trees all over the land. It's a tremendous project and it has had tremendous success. But now it seems that gathering the wood was quite a task. It wasn't as easy as it once was when all of those hills were covered with trees. And so the wood offering is first mentioned here, to bring it into the house of our God after the houses of our fathers at times appointed year by year to burn upon the altar of the Lord our God, as it has been written in the law. And then they covenant to bring in the first fruits of our ground, the first fruits of the fruit of all of our trees year by year into the house of the Lord. The firstborn of our sons. And again, firstfruits, firstborn. Giving God the first, not the leftovers, as is the custom of many. The firstborn of our sons and of our cattle, as it is written in the law. The firstlings of our herds and of our flocks, to bring to the house of our God unto the priests that minister in the house of our God. And that we would bring forth the firstfruits of our dough. Now, that's flour dough, and our offerings and the fruit of all manner of trees, of wine, oil, unto the priests in the chambers of the house of our God, and the tithes of our ground unto the Levites, that the same Levites might have the tithes in all of the cities of our tillage. So bringing in a tenth part of your crops and all for the sustenance of the Levites who ministered within the temple. And the priest, the son of Aaron, shall be with the Levites when the Levites take the tithes, and the Levites shall bring up the tithe of the tithes into the house of our God, to the chambers, into the treasure house. For the children of Israel and the children of Levi shall bring the offering of corn, of the new wine oil, into the chambers where are the vessels of the sanctuary, and the priests that minister, and the porters, and the singers. And we will not forsake the house of our God. So this is the covenant that they made. These are the things we will do as unto the Lord. Chapter 11, and the rulers of the people that dwelt at Jerusalem and the rest of the people also cast lots to bring one of ten to dwell in Jerusalem. Now, the houses were still sort of a rubble. The walls had been built, but it was a secure place, but not a comfortable place. There were much nicer houses out in the country. And so it was a sacrifice to live within Jerusalem. It would be, you know, like your choice of living in downtown Los Angeles or living out here in the suburbs. And so they figured we ought to have more people living in Jerusalem, so they cast lots, and one in ten, every tenth one was to, you know, live in Jerusalem, dwell in Jerusalem, the holy city. Nine parts of the people would live outside of the city of Jerusalem. Now, there were some who volunteered to live in Jerusalem, and that pleased the others, and they were people blessed, all of the men that willingly offered themselves to dwell at Jerusalem. Oh, bless you, man, you know, for your sacrifice. Now, these are the chief of the province that dwelt in Jerusalem, but in the cities of Judah dwelt everyone in his possession in their cities, to wit, Israel, and the priests and the Levites and the Nethinims and the children of Solomon's servants. Israel, notice that people talk about the 10 lost tribes of Israel. When they returned from their captivity, the decree of Artaxerxes was to the Jews in all the world. And Persia, of course, was a world-dominating empire. And so there were those of the northern kingdom that also returned during that time. And so the Nethinims, of course, were the Gibeonites, who were the ones who were to be the hewers of wood and all with that covenant that was made with Joshua. And at Jerusalem there dwelt certain of the children of Judah and of the children of Benjamin, the children of Judah, and it gives the names of them, and we're not going to go through that. The sons of Perez that dwelt in Jerusalem were 468 valiant men, and it gives you the names of the sons of Benjamin that were there. In verse 7, in verse 10, it tells you the priest. And the number of the priests that did the work in the house were 822, verse 12. It gives you the names of the Levites in verse 15. And they had the oversight of the outward business of the house of God. The priests did the offerings. The Levites took care of the grounds and the repairs and things of that nature, the outward business of the house of God. And So it gives you these sons of Asaph in verse 17, who was the principal to begin the thanksgiving in prayer. And then the porters, verse 19, and then the residue of Israel, the priests, the Levites, in verse 20, and just the names and the villages and so forth that really do not minister to us. Chapter 12, we have the priests and the Levites that went up with Zerubbabel, their names. The Levites in verse 8, and then the chief of the Levites in verse 22. Verse 24, the latter portion, their duty was to praise and to give thanks according to the commandment of David, the man of God. Ward over against ward. And at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, verse 27, they sought the Levites out of their places to bring them to Jerusalem to keep the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgiving, with singing, with cymbals, with psalteries, and with harps. And so the great celebration as they're going to dedicate these walls. And so the sons of the singers gathered themselves together, both out of the plain country round about Jerusalem, from the villages of Netophat, that's why we don't take the names, and also from the house of Gilgal and the fields of Geba and so forth. And I'm not going to read all those names either. With their musical instruments that David, the man of God, had established for them. Twice here, David is mentioned as the man of God. I like that. I like that title. Would to God that we could all be known as men and women of God. David, the man of God, that just has a good ring to it.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse venture through the book of Nehemiah in our next lesson, as we look at the registry of the priests and Levites. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message, or perhaps you'd like to order a copy for that special friend or loved one, you can do so by simply contacting one of our customer service representatives, and they'd be more than happy to assist you with the ordering details. Simply call 1-800-272-WORD. And phone orders can be taken Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. And for your added convenience, you can order online anytime when you go to thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse through the additional resources that include Bible studies, commentaries, CDs, DVDs, and so much more. Once again, that's The Word for Today online at thewordfortoday.org. And for those of you who still prefer to write, you can use our mailing address, which is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And be sure to include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck Smith continues his verse-by-verse study through the book of Nehemiah. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
May the Lord be with you and give you a beautiful week. May you enjoy His presence and His fellowship as you walk with Him. May the Spirit of God give you strength and power in your inner man. May He help you to begin to comprehend how much God does love you, how much God cares for each one of you. May you come into a new, rich love relationship with Jesus Christ, where your heart burns with passion for Him and for the things of the Spirit. May you be enriched in His fullness. May the Lord watch over and keep you in Jesus' name.
Word for Today would like to invite you to come along on a revolutionary study of the Bible as we introduce Pastor Chuck's Genesis commentary in an ebook format. Not only will you have Pastor Chuck's in-depth commentary, this ebook allows access to enhanced research studies by honored Christian scholars instantly. Features include Hebrew and Greek word definitions, as well as images of historical maps and places just by clicking or touching your screen, an online dictionary, plus highlighting, note-taking, and bookmarking. And everywhere Pastor Chuck shares what he learned or studied something, you now have access to those very same notes. To get ready to study the Bible in a whole new way. Now you don't have to imagine what it was like to be there. This is the next best thing. To find out how to download Pastor Chuck's Genesis commentary to your electronic device, please call The Word for Today at 800-272-9673. Or to watch a video demonstration, visit us online at thewordfortoday.org.
This program has been sponsored by The Word for Today in Costa Mesa, California.